I want us tonight to talk about that which the Bible described as the great sin of Jeroboam. You know that name, Jeroboam, do you not? What is the great sin that he committed? We'll introduce this lesson. We'll spend quite a bit of time talking about the fact that the Bible talks about the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Over and over again, the Bible talks about it. But look at that text. Look in 2 Kings chapter 17. There are some amazing statements that are made, because this verse is written right after the time that northern kingdom has been taken into captivity. And God looks back at that northern kingdom and all the things that transpired. And one of the things that he mentions in this is that which is found in verse 21, that they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat their king, and Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord. That's the way it's identified. Jeroboam was that man who was in the forefront of driving Israel away from God. And then he says, for the children of Israel walked in all of the sins of Jeroboam which he did. What's this sin Jeroboam is guilty of? It's mentioned over and over in the Bible. And so this verse, written in about 722 B.C., at least setting historically in that, this continued to happen, verse 23, until the Lord drove Israel out of his sight, took them away from their own land. What happened? What is this great thing that Jeroboam did? We're going to point out in a moment the many times that he said, and they walked in the sins of Jeroboam. Sometimes we make steps and we're not aware of the steps. Sometimes we'll make a right step, and if those who are following after us will make that right step and will continue to make that right step, then it will lead to the paths of righteousness. Some of you are children of God because your parents were. Some of you are children of God because your grandparents, perhaps even your great-grandparents, those who many, many years ago made a decision, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to follow the Lord. And that one right decision is impacting your life right now, even though you may not be aware of it. Many will not remember Mao Zedong, but he was one of the Chinese leaders during the time when I was in high school. But he made this statement, it's a Chinese proverb, that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Now you think about that, but suppose that one step is in the wrong direction. Suppose right here at the very beginning you go in the wrong direction and you make the journey of 1,000 miles, but you start in the wrong direction. That's why it is so important that we come to the realization that the decisions that we make and the right decisions that we make are those that are headed in the right direction. For you see, this one wrong step that Jeroboam made, we haven't identified it yet, it was made by 19 other kings, or 18 other kings, who followed him. Look at the history briefly of the Jewish nation. The Jews had left Egypt. They'd entered into the promised land. They were God's chosen people, given that land that flowed with the milk and honey. They were ruled over, once they got into the promised land, by judges, many of them who were righteous, and then by three kings, Saul and David and Solomon. They've been in that promised land for over 400 years, perhaps close to 500 years, and then Solomon dies. And when Solomon dies, 80%, more than 80% of the children of Israel, those individuals who'd come out of the land of Egypt, at least their forefathers had come out of the land of Egypt, 80% of them were turned away from God. You look at the history of that 80%, and that's where this northern kingdom of Israel comes from. Do you know the first king of that northern kingdom? We may not know the names of all of the kings, but we perhaps would recognize, once we see it again, that Jeroboam was that first king of that northern kingdom. The great sin of Jeroboam, what is it? It's mentioned over and over and over again in the Bible. What tragic thing did Jeroboam do? Let's look at some dates that might help us. Solomon died in 931 B.C. For nearly 200 years, Jeroboam and his descendants and his impact on his descendants and on the Jewish nation carried the people farther and farther away from God. A wrong decision by the first king of that northern kingdom took them on a journey of 1,000 miles, but they were going 1,000 miles away from God. It all started with a wrong step, and that step was repeated over and over and over again. Over 200 years, they were walking in the direction of these kings that followed Jeroboam. You may know how many kings there were in that northern kingdom. You may know that there were 19 kings in that northern kingdom for a period of about 200 years. The first king making that wrong step was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now think about the names of these kings as I read them to you. On the screen you'll be able to see how long each of them reigned. Have you heard of Jeroboam, perhaps? But what about these other individuals? Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Jehu. You may recognize perhaps two of those names, one of them being Ahab and the other one being Jehu. That's the list of the first half of those kings. Look at the rest of them. Hear the names of other kings and hear the list of how long that each of them reigned. Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam II, Zechariah, Shalom, Menahem, Pekahiah, Pekah, and Hoshea. 19 kings. What do you know about them? We don't know anything at all about them. Look at all of those names at one time and see all of their names. They're on the screen in a different format at this time. But underneath that, recognize that here we have 19 kings, and 17 times it is stated he walked in the ways or in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I had one time thought that I'd just make 19 slides and put all of these here, at least 17 of them. But imagine as you read that part of the Bible from 2 Kings, you read all of those things that are transpiring from 1 Kings, starting in chapter 13 until you get almost to the end of 2 Kings, and 17 times these statements. And he walked in the sins of Jeroboam, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and he walked in the sins of Jeroboam, and he walked in the ways 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 of Jeroboam, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. That's only 10 times. Double that number of times. Over and over and over again. Brought to the forefront by Almighty God is this man Jeroboam. And look at the impact that he had. He was the first king of that northern kingdom, and of the 19 kings of that northern kingdom, of 17 of them, it is stated, they walked in the sins, in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. What tragic thing did Jeroboam do? Why on earth would God Almighty, as we read the Bible, we just continue to run across this phrase, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. And then the text describes that as the great sin of Jeroboam. What was his sin? In fact, the verse that we looked at in the text, for the children of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, they did not depart from them. That's in 2 Kings chapter 17. The northern kingdom has fallen. And the God of heaven looks backward at that northern kingdom and he says, do you know why that northern kingdom was taken off this earth? Do you know why God overthrew that northern kingdom? Do you know why God took 80% of the Jewish nation and wiped them off of this earth? It's all because of the sins of Jeroboam. What sin did Jeroboam commit? Is there any other individual sin that's mentioned that many times in the Bible? There are some sins that are mentioned, and we know a lot about the lives of other individuals, but here is this one man in the Bible, and 17 times the Bible said, and he walked in the sins of Jeroboam. Jeroboam, what on earth did you do? The background of his sins lies in God's plan of how he developed Israel. We know of the prophecy made to Abraham that he'd make of him a great nation and put him in a great land and someday send a great Savior. Those who are Bible students know how the descendants of Jacob went down to the land of Egypt and how the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt and took them back into this promised land. But even before they ever got to the promised land, the Lord says, when you get into the promised land, there is that place where I will put my name, and that is the place where you need to worship God. You may remember that Samaritan woman in the life of Jesus, perceiving that Jesus was a prophet, she says, the Jews say that Jerusalem is the place of worship, and our fathers say it's in this mountain up in Samaria. Where is the place? She was aware that before they ever came into the promised land, the God of heaven said, I will put my name in one place, and it is in that place where you will be able to meet me. Those who are Bible students understand how that God worked during the period of the judges, during the period of Saul and David, and then early in the life of Solomon. There was the erecting of this temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place. Before they'd gone to the land, God said, I'll show you that place. David was able to capture that city from the Jebusites. It became the place where David wanted to build the very temple of God, and God said, no, you're a man who shed blood. Your son Solomon, his name means peace, your son Solomon will have a peaceful reign, and he will erect that temple. And that temple had in it those two rooms. They were first a part of that movable tent tabernacle that they had. Those two rooms, the holy place and the most holy place on this earth. And so Solomon erected that temple. The magnificence of that temple can be understood when we recognize that there were over 143,000 individuals that worked for 7 years to build that temple. It was the wonder of the ancient world. Everything in it was overlaid with gold. And the people understood. When that temple was dedicated and Solomon prays that prayer there at the temple and dedicates that the temple, that it was intended that all the nations look toward that city, that all the nations see Jerusalem as that place. For that was the place where the light of Judaism and thereby the light of God and the understanding of God would radiate in all the world. That was God's plan in that very place. Before Jeroboam comes onto the scene, every Jew on earth understood that God's plan involved that holy place, that most holy place in Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, when Solomon dies, Jeroboam comes on the scene. What was Jeroboam's sin? Briefly, and then we'll look at the text. Jeroboam's sin was to introduce a new way of worshiping God. That's what it was all about. He wanted to establish there a new God religion and divide Judaism and have part of Judaism being that was focused there on Jerusalem, and part of it that which focused on the God that Jeroboam proclaimed, the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. You do not have to worship him. And all of a sudden, God's plan for his message to go from that holy place, from that most holy place, for all the world to be able to see the glory and understand the glory of God that radiated from Jerusalem, all of a sudden Jeroboam comes onto the scene. Now look at the text. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 14, starting in verse 25, Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and dwelt there. And he went out from there and bent Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, the kingdom may return to the house of David. What does he mean by that? Well, he was not a descendant of David. There was that descendant of David by the name of Rehoboam. He was the one who was sitting on David's throne in Jerusalem. But now all of a sudden, Jeremiah up in that northern kingdom, eventually to make Samaria that capital of that northern kingdom, Jeroboam begins to think, I'm in trouble. Because if the people of God worship the God of heaven down in Jerusalem like they have done for all of these years, if they worship God in that place, they'll be going to Jerusalem three times a year. And eventually, their affinity toward Jerusalem will become greater than their love for me. And so he says, the kingdom may return to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Jeroboam's in a bind. He understands that he's sort of the renegade king. He has led, he's caused a rebellion, a division among the Jewish nation. And he understands that they are attuned to worshiping God in Jerusalem, and if they go back, my days may be numbered. They want to go back to Jerusalem, not just for their worship, but for their king. And there's Rehoboam, who's king down there. And I will no longer be king, and they will kill me. Look at verse 28. The king asked advice. There are those counselors that are around the king. And having received this advice, made two gold calves. And he said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Look at what he said. Your historical background is God who led you out of the land of Egypt. And I want you to know, I want you to still worship that God, but we're going to identify him in a different way. We're going to make two golden calves. And he sets up one in Bethel. The other he puts far up in the northern region in Dan. Now this thing became a sin. You see, Bethel was just a few, perhaps less than 20 miles north of Jerusalem. And so those Jews, as they were headed back toward Jerusalem, would go through, because the highway went through Bethel, would go down that way, and right there would be that calf that they could worship there. It's too far to go to Jerusalem. Here you can worship God without making that onward journey down to Jerusalem. And the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Those who lived up in the northern territory, obviously it'd be easier for them to go in that direction. And he made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. You see, that temple in Jerusalem, God's plan was for the Levites to be his priest. But Jeroboam said, we can make priest of anyone. It doesn't make any difference whether you are a Levite or not. We're going to worship the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. We're going to have priests worshiping God, just like those priests that you've got down in Jerusalem. The only thing is they're not of the sons of Levi, but what difference can that make? And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. It was like the feast they had in Judah, and they offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made, and at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. And the last verse. So he made an offering on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month that he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. What was Jeroboam's sin? Was his sin that he had introduced sexual immorality like the pagan religions had in their worship of their God? Oh, it was not that at all. Jeroboam's sin was not that he was saying, no longer worship the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We're just going to redefine who God is. I want you to worship the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I want you to have priests. I want you to have altars. I want you to have incense. I want you to keep the Jewish feast days. What was Jeroboam's sin? And here it is. He introduced a new religion that was of human origin. Did not the text say that he sought advice about what he should do? The text also says that Jeroboam devised this plan in his own heart. Can you see the difference in a God-given way of worshiping God and an individual coming along and say, it probably doesn't make that much difference. Let's keep worshiping God, but we don't have to pay any attention to how we worship God. Let's have whatever we want. We don't have to necessarily have the Levites. We can make anyone a priest. One man is as good as another. We'll have individuals. We'll have the burning of incense. It may not be the identical incense that God had specified. We'll have altars that are there. Not that altar that was in Jerusalem, but we've got these altars that are at Bethel. And he devised in his own heart, and he had feast days, and the text says those feast days were like the ones they had in Jerusalem. Why was that northern kingdom destroyed? Because Jeroboam turned his back on the religion that God had ordained that centered in Jerusalem. And said it doesn't make that much difference. Jeroboam's first step was a step away from God. It was not only a religion of human origin, it was a religion of convenience. It's too hard to go to Jerusalem. Let's just change our worship to fit our times and to fit our situation so that we can worship God, the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt, but we'll do it in the way that satisfies us, a way that is convenient for us. It may be that which pleases us even more. It may be convenient to do this or to do that. And the Bible said, Jeroboam said, it's too much to do what God said. Let's change what God said. That new religion was a sin. Verse 30 says, the thing became a sin. How wrong was it? How wrong was it? You and I need to have an understanding that the new religion was sinful. Now look at what happened. When Jeroboam's son becomes king, he has the heart that he's seen in his father. If that's not a lesson for all of us and the kind of hearts that we need to have before our children and us to do all that we can to help our children walk in the paths of righteousness. Jeroboam takes one step away from God. What does his son do? And what about his grandson? And what about his great-grandson? Do you understand that the God of heaven says, I want to show you what can happen. I want to show you how I feel about those individuals who take a step away from me and continue to go on and on and on and on and getting farther and farther away from God. Think of the difference. When you get down to about 6 or 7 kings away from Jeroboam and you've got Ahab, what's he done? He introduces the worshiping of Baal as a part of Judah, a part of that northern kingdom. There's Jezebel, his wife. There is the evil heart that he has, and that nation gets farther and farther away from God. And were it not for Elijah the prophet, one wonders how far, much farther they would have gone. But Elijah is there to try to call Israel back to him and cause those 7,000 who had not yet bowed their knee to Baal. But you begin reading about those other kings. And you read those last 10 kings, and of the 19 kings, 17 times when God described what had happened and how they got farther and farther away from God, they walked in the steps of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. They went in those ways. They walked in the sins. Can we not understand that these things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we need to go and understand that there was something else that came out of Jerusalem? In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, the Bible talked about the coming of Christianity and says, and the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. It will go forth from Zion. And like God had worked all of those years to bring about Judaism, the Lord then works throughout many more years, more centuries, to bring about something that is far better than the holy place in that temple. He brings about the church. And oh, how our world needs to learn the lesson of Jeroboam. He was not immoral. He was a religious man. He was a religious man who thought up a better way to worship God. Oh, let's worship the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. We're still going to be God's people, but we're not paying any attention to what God says about the nature of worship. And isn't it tragic that is the fruit of these individuals who have thought up new ways of worshiping God and coming to worship God in other ways, in different places, and to worship God in ways He's not specified, that once you take that first step away from God, there is no stopping. Once I turn away from God, and look what's happened to religion in America. Look at what's happened in the name of Jesus. All sorts of immorality and ungodliness. And the word Christian has a meaningless definition. Because in America today, you can believe anything and still be called a Christian. The obvious lesson to us is, let us never be guilty of being a Jeroboam in the lives of our family or in the lives of the congregations where we are. Let us be individuals who are concerned about what God has revealed about the New Testament church, and let us do all that we can so that we can serve Him faithfully. Think of how different our world would be if every person on this earth would lay aside doctrines that began after that first century. Lay aside religious ideas that originated in the hearts and the imagination of human advisors or the hearts and imagination of some religious leader. Imagine what the world would be like if those people in Samaria, in that northern kingdom, had said, let's go back to Jerusalem. Let's worship God the way they did in the days when Solomon built that temple. Let us be God's people, being a part of that which was centered around Jerusalem. And there would have been religious unity. There would not have been a northern Jewish denomination that had its idols there at Dan and Bethel, and a southern Jewish denomination that was in Jerusalem. There would have just been Judaism. Make the application. What if all individuals in America said, let's lay aside everything, every practice, every idea that has come in by human imagination, by religions of convenience, by the attitude, it doesn't make that much difference. What would happen if we all laid aside human ideas and said, let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to that church that began in Jerusalem, and let us never, ever be that individual who takes that first step away from God, because the consequences of taking that step will lead you farther and farther away from God. May God add His blessings to this lesson. You never know where individuals are who hear the gospel. There may be those individuals who've heard this lesson and said, I'd love to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of that church that began in Jerusalem. God's plan is simple. Sit down and read the book of Acts. You'll find it yourself. It's not that hard when the church begins for you to find that they heard the gospel preached and they believed it. And they changed their lives. They repented, and because of their faith in Jesus, they were immersed in water that their sins might be forgiven. You may be listening to this on your computer right this very minute. If we can help you become a member of that church of the first century, just contact us. We'll do everything we can to help you find the way that God wants you to walk. And God help all of us who are His children, who have committed ourselves to the Lord, to always be sober and vigilant, and to recognize that the steps of Jeroboam can lead to the destruction, not just of Jeroboam, but of his family and his next generation and the next generation, and ultimately the destruction of an entire nation. The journey of 1,000 miles in the wrong direction takes you farther and farther away from God. May we never be guilty of walking in the steps of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat.